was the sun mean? Now, the prophets in the Old Testament, they used to use visual aids quite a lot. Jeremiah went to a potter's house and got a pot and smashed it into pieces and whatever to sort of show something that was going to happen next. Abijah, I think he took his robes and tore it into 12 pieces and handed two of the pieces back to the king and said, this is what's going to happen to your kingdom. So signs are things which have been used a lot in the Bible. And this sign was particularly important because this sign was one that Jeremiah had pictured in a dream. And Zechariah, he's sort of, as far as prophets are concerned, he's one that, he's big on his visual aids. There's lots of pictures in his book. And one of them was that a king would come, not riding on a big horse, but riding on a donkey, which would mean that he was not a king of
war and power in that sense, but would be a different kind of king, a king of peace. And so all the people in Jerusalem knew exactly what was happening when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, because they all knew their Bibles even better than we know ours, I think, to be honest. They all knew what it said in the book of Zechariah. They all knew what this meant, which is why they were so pleased, because a new king would come. We're going to sing again, and we'll stay seated. And as we sing this one, we'll take up our offering for the day. King of Kings, Majesty. King of Kings, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne. Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty.
Thank you.
We want to say, you be king in our lives. Lord, sometimes we just don't seem to manage that, and another Sunday rolls around and we think, oh my goodness, perhaps I haven't been the disciple I needed to be. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us and that you would take these gifts that we give to you today and you would use them so that we and others may be reminded that you are King, that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord. Amen. So Jesus was riding into Jerusalem,
and everybody was waving their branches because they thought, finally, a king had arrived. Who would like to be a king? Is that Esperanza with her hand up in the air there? Would you like to come and be king? No. All right, then. Come on then, Emma. Come on, be king. Yeah, oh yeah, that's true. Jesus and a king. That's true. Right. Well, if we, next slide, if we can have it up. King. Fancy that as your bedroom?
Yeah.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah, okay. So live in a nice palace. That would be good. And perhaps have some servants. Would that be good? Do you want to pick two or three servants to have?
Holly.
Holly.
And William.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, well, if you'd like to kneel before the king, that would be great. And then, of course, a nice robe. Lovely. And of course, a crown. There we go. Crown which sits sort of just about with your, There we go. Because this is the kind of king, isn't it? This is the kind of king that, this was the kind of king that they were expecting to come into Jerusalem. Somebody with a bit of power, a bit of pomp, a bit of majesty, a bit of authority, with disciples at their feet who would stir up a rebellion and kick out the Romans once and for all and would sit on a throne in Jerusalem. But the king, Jesus, that we know about, well, he certainly didn't start off in a palace like this, did he? He started off his life in a stable. As poor as you can get, not even in his own home, just in a borrowed stable with a load of smelly animals. It's not a promising start for a king, is it? So maybe our king is something completely different. And again, does our king come with power and with servants? Got to think of next picture, which is quite a cool one. Isn't it? Yeah, that's so cool. No, it's not. This is not how, this is how some kings behave, but this is not how our king behaves. And in fact, when Jesus was having his last supper with his disciples, he takes off any robe that he has and ends up washing his servants' feet, who, let's face it, were pretty hot and sticky and have probably been walking in a bit of donkey poo and all sorts of things. But Jesus happily washed their feet, even though that was the job of the lowest of the servants. And does Jesus have a throne? And does Jesus have a crown? Well, yes, Jesus has a crown, but it's not necessarily one that you'd want to... And in John's Gospel, well, yes, if Jesus has a throne anywhere, it's a throne that looks like this. It's a very unusual kind of king that has come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It's not a king that was expected, but it's the king that the world needs. It's a king who has come not for his own benefit, but a king who really has come to set people free, to set people like us free. Set us free from the need of feeling that we need to have our own throne, thanks very much, and that we need to have servants, thanks very much. Because actually, what God shows is that we are all super important. We are all super loved. We are all children of God who one day will be enthroned with him in heaven. On Palm Sunday, people honoured Jesus by laying down their cloaks. To honour him, we're asked to lay down our lives. If Jesus is king, we know he is king. How do we know that Jesus is king in somebody's life? How do we know that Jesus is king? One for the grown-ups. How do we know that somebody is king in somebody's life? Sorry? Witnessing? Yeah? Okay. John? It changes our lives. Yeah. Holly. How do we know if somebody is Jesus in somebody's life? Actually, how do we know if anybody is a king or a lord in somebody's life? Do what they tell you. That's right. We've got a little DVD clip that I'd like you to watch. Thank you, Kit. Oh, you want to stay on your phone? Okay, fine.
You shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Laura. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Laura.
Then you'll do this.
But, Laura...
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, but this, Laura, this is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord...
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming by here? Yes, well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand.
Hey! Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh, well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right. I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask.
Hello, and welcome to Shattering Biblical Misconceptions. I'm Netanel Barak of the Israel Institute.
Right to praise somebody as king. The question is, will you also obey him? When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, do not judge, and you will not be judged, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, if you forgive, you too will be forgiven, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, give, and more will be given to you, are we willing to obey him? Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's just think of where we have failed to obey God in the last week. Lord, we want to see people through your eyes and see situations as you see them. Lord, today we give you our eyes. Lord, we want to hear your voice speaking to us and hear the needs of the people around us. Lord, we give you our ears. Lord, we want to speak your words, words that are truthful and kind, and which build others up. Lord, we give you our mouths. Lord, we want to use our hands and our feet to serve you, going to the places that you call us and doing the things that you want us to do. Lord, we give you our hands and our feet. Lord, we want to love you with our whole hearts and love our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, we give you our hearts. And Lord, we want to obey you, offer you all that we are and all that we have. Not our will, but your will be done in our lives. Lord, today we give you our lives. Amen. We're going to sing another song, I See the King of Glory. And let us picture him in our mind's eye, in heaven and coming again. And are we ready to meet him? Is he our Lord? Let's stand and sing. See the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire, the whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna.
And it's the Oliver family who are going to leave the press. Do you pray?
But Tom challenged us to do something. Okay, we're going to have a responsive prayer this morning. So when we say, King Jesus, can you respond, come and reign? So we'll try that. King Jesus,
come and reign.
Lord, today we remember the joy and exuberance of that first Palm Sunday. We thank you that you have provided us with so many good things to enjoy. Often we take these for granted and forget to give you the thanks and praise for all we have. In our attitudes to our world and our environment, King Jesus,
come and reign.
Today we remember how your arrival was welcomed by crowds who longed to see an end to tyranny and oppression. In our world, there are millions of people who still suffer because those who are powerful do not take the time to care about them. We pray today for those who work for low wages, in poor conditions, to provide customers with food and clothes, and their bosses with large profits. In the way we spend our money and to campaign for justice, King Jesus,
come and reign.
The crowds misunderstood what kind of king you would be. Please help us to understand and trust you in your teaching. May we listen to your Holy Spirit guiding us as we read the Bible, so we may become confident, so we can act as your disciples in a confused and uncertain world. In the way in which we live our lives, King Jesus.
Amen.
Today we think of those in leadership in our country who are finding it hard to work out the relationship we should have with other countries around us. Lord, we pray that you give them lots of wisdom, and that decisions are made which bring honour to your name and are done for the good of the people. In all the discussions and decisions that are made, King Jesus.
Amen.
Lord God, we know how sad you are when people are hurting. We pray for those who are hurting today. Maybe they are ill or missing someone special. We take a few moments now to think of those who may need a touch from you. Would you bring your healing and wholeness and show us how we might help to bring your comfort in the lives of those we have prayed for, King Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for ourselves and we pray for particularly those who are getting baptized next week. We thank you for the journey that you have taken us on and you have taken them on. And Lord, at this special time of Easter, and today in the things that we have learned, may we recommit ourselves to your care. That we wouldn't just be some king that we sing praises to and then forget about, but that you are the Lord whom we obey and whom we trust with our lives and with our future. So for all of us and for all our lives, King Jesus,
come and reign.
Let's close our prayers by saying together the prayer that King Jesus taught his own disciples, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our service draws to a close, I will invite King Emma's minions to hand out some palm crosses. I'm not quite sure whether there's enough for one each, there might be. Do you want to take it back? And if you've not got one, at least you have sight of one, and see how the joy and the exuberance of palm branches turns to the horror and death on a cross, but how the cross ceases to become a symbol of horror and death and becomes instead a symbol of hope for us and for all people around the world who find a possibility away from whatever, freedom from whatever oppression holds them back, whether it's hunger, poverty, whether it's drugs, whether it's broken relationships, whatever it is. So if you'd like to take and use this cross as well as we go through Holy Week, just to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us.
Excitement couldn't last forever, but I didn't expect it to end like this. Riding into Jerusalem was always going to be risky for Jesus. You see, the Pharisees hated him and were looking for a way to arrest him, but I didn't expect the people to turn against him so quickly. One minute they were praising him, singing their hosannas and waving their palm branches. Then the next minute they were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Had they forgotten how he fed them on the hillside with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Had they forgotten how many people he had healed? Had they forgotten the amazing things he had taught them? What I can't understand is why Pilate listened to the people. Why couldn't he see that Jesus wasn't a common criminal and deserved to die? I'll never forget the sight of Jesus stumbling through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying his heavy cross on his back and a crown of thorns on his head. We had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, the one to set us all free, but it looks like we were wrong because Messiahs aren't crucified. And yet, I do remember something he said to us. It's coming back to me now. Jesus told us that he was coming to Jerusalem to be condemned to death, mocked, flogged, and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Maybe there is some purpose to it all. Maybe.